Welcome to the WLS Gut Health Podcast, your solution to restoring stomach and intestinal health after weight loss surgery. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the WLS Gut Health Podcast. My name is Dawn Boxall, and I am the host of today's show. Today's topic is, why have Devrom and Poo-Pourri failed me after weight loss surgery? On our last podcast, we talked about the connection of low stomach acid with gut problems. We also talked about the small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, which is SIBO, S-I-B-O, and its connection with the low stomach acid. And that's kind of what we're kind of moving through all that, not again, but we're deepening this topic a little bit more on SIBO. And if you go back to, you know, low stomach acid being a contributor. Well, let's even just talk about, you know, the symptoms of small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. You can have this foul smelling gas, bloating, constipation, diarrhea, upset stomach, and then it can even go as far as the acne, rosacea, rheumatoid arthritis, IBS, you know, joint pain type things, or just all body type, you know, covering whole body type areas, is what you'll get kind of the symptoms of. And that is with, you know, like we talked about on the last podcast, the carbohydrates are not digested and they are just producing tons of gas. But with that comes, you know, all this undigested food fermenting that doesn't produce very pleasant smelling things. So that's why Devrom doesn't really work effectively and Poo-Pourri doesn't work effectively, because you're dealing with the maldigested food as well as the bacteria that's feeding off of all these carbohydrates that are not being digested. Then if you think about a Roux-en-Y gastric bypass, where you are taking away that sphincter, that pyloric sphincter that's at the bottom of your stomach that empties into the intestines, that is stapled off, and your surgeon makes a new outlet, which is just a hole, so food just gets dumped into your intestines, and that contributes to more food that isn't digested as well before it gets to your small intestines to be absorbed. So you get kind of a double whammy with the Roux-en-Y gastric bypass that, you know, can contribute to the SIBO and the excess gas and just the symptoms that many struggle with when it comes to gut health. If you remember from the last podcast, I talked about the parietal cells that are no longer there after weight loss surgery, because it lines the whole entire surface of your stomach. And when you go from a football size belly down to a golf ball size belly, you just don't have the availability to produce the acid. So for a weight loss surgery patient to have adequate stomach acid, it's just hard to accomplish. So that's where you have to rely on outside support to kind of get everything in order to give you the results that you need to digest the food. Now, most of the research has said that Roux-en-Y gastric bypass has about a 40 to 41% chance of having SIBO, which is pretty high. The sleeve gastrectomy, that one is going to be driven mostly if you're put on proton pump inhibitors. So if your doctor puts you on Prevacid or Omeprazole, that's going to be probably the main driver, or just really poor diet habits that also combined with it, that would make it a lot more probable that you would have SIBO after weight loss surgery. So what is it about stomach acid that contributes to SIBO? Stomach acid supports digestion and absorption of carbohydrates by stimulating the release of pancreatic enzymes. And they are released into the small intestines. So if that piece isn't done, then you're not going to get the enzymes that you need to digest those carbohydrates. So you can see that's pretty important. So if you've had weight loss surgery, how are you supposed to correct this problem? So the quickest way to getting some good results is providing your body what it needs to digest the foods appropriately. So what does that really mean? You would really need to take kind of a big attack on both areas. So you would have to tackle what's happening and not happening in your stomach and tackle what is happening and not happening in your intestines. So that's kind of two things. You would attack it with some really good probiotics, and you would attack it with some digestive enzymes. So you would want a digestive enzyme that has the betaine-HCl, which is just like stomach acid. You would want it to have some ox bile, which is a support for your gallbladder, giving you some extra bile to digest fats. And then all the enzymes to digest proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. Then your probiotic needs to be a really good quality probiotic, because you just can't buy any probiotic over the counter and know that you're getting anything of value. So unfortunately, the FDA does not guarantee or require that the bacteria even has to be live. So when you look at a bottle, you want to make sure the bottle states that it has guaranteed potency until expiration, not guaranteed potency at manufacturing. So if it's at manufacturing, then you are going to be getting one that you may not have any live bacteria in it. And that's the whole purpose of taking it. You want it to have live bacteria. So then you want to make sure it's a good, complete one that has a good high CFU. So CFUs is the colony forming units. And that is what you're paying attention to with billions of them. So you can, you know, get into the trillions when you're talking fermented foods. But when you're talking probiotics, you can do hundreds of billions pretty easily in some of the different ones. Most of the research shows nothing less than 10 billion. So I always stand firm on nothing less than 10 billion. So you definitely want it to be 10 billion CFUs, but preferably higher. And if you have SIBO, you may have to play with that a bit, because some people can be can react to it a little bit more than other people. So that's definitely something to pay attention to. And you might have to titrate it up slowly. And what I mean by that is you might have to take one day and then skip two or three days, take another one. Or you might have to open the capsule and take half of it to start and take the other half the next night. Either way, you would definitely have to titrate it up for some people. Some of you just react and you feel nauseous, or you might have some diarrhea, or you just might have some symptoms that, you know, definitely digestive symptoms from it. And if you do, no big deal. It's just more evidence that you need the probiotic and that you need some support with digestion. So taking those digestive enzymes and then also getting titrating up with the good quality probiotic. You also want one that's refrigerated. That is going to lengthen the life of the bacteria and making them a better quality. So purchasing one that is in the refrigerated section is the, you know, the best quality to get. And then just keep it in there and it will, you know, you're going to be more apt to have live cultures to expiration. If not, then it's easy for the bacteria to die off when they're in heat. So the next thing you would want to make sure is that it's actually multi-species. So with that, you definitely want one from the main two sources, and that's the Bifidobacterium and the Lactobacillus families. So those are the two different areas that you want families from. So making sure that you have both of those on there is important. And then not all of the, you know, strains of bacteria are protected from stomach acid. So I like using a formula that does guarantee survival of the bacteria to the intestines with some type of formula that's going to protect, that's acid stable, bile stable, so it's going to be resistant to being to killing those bacteria with acid and bile. So that's important to pay attention to. And then, you know, making sure it's just complete. You've got a broad spectrum. You've got hardy strains. You've got several different strains. You know, ideally like in the, you know, 5 to 10 minimum different strains, that's good. And if you can get a little bit higher than that, even better. So, and I use probiotics for different things depending on what's going on. So I may use a soil-based one. I might use, you know, one if somebody's really struggling with diarrhea, I might use a different product because it's going to give better results. And I'm just really aggressive at the beginning when you take them, and it helps kind of resolve that problem right away. So when it comes to SIBO, the basics really to get started is some digestive enzymes and a good quality starting probiotic. And that's a great place to start and get you on the healing mode. SIBO can be kind of tricky, and you might need to, I should say, you will have to be aggressive in treating it. And most times you're going to have to combine it with some diet changes that, you know, 30 days minimum, sometimes up to 90 days, and with some aggressive treatments with probiotics, enzymes, and prebiotics also, which I don't think I did say that on my probiotic, that I do recommend making sure you have a prebiotic on it. But you have to be, you know, doing this whole package deal if you really want to eradicate it all at once. So the diet, the prebiotics, the probiotics, the digestive enzymes, and also some gut healing products so that you get the full spectrum for a short burst of time. And then you drop most of those except the digestive enzymes and the probiotic. Those stay. And over time, you can kind of retrain your stomach to do its job like it's supposed to if you provide some of the betaine HCl, the same product like stomach acid. That product is probably going to be hard for most weight loss surgery patients to get away from because you've lost that ability to adequately make it. So if you do feel like you're having these digestive problems and lots of gut issues, then this is a good starting point and start tackling it from this avenue, and then you'll see how far it takes you and we'll decide, hey, I might need to tweak it here. I might need to do this whole package deal and put everything together. Or, you know, maybe I get resolution with just doing these two products and giving my body what it needs to digest food. You will know once you try. So I hope all that makes sense, and I hope you've been able to get some good information from this topic, because it's such a common problem after weight loss surgery that I feel like it's important for all of you who've taken the commitment to do something about your health and you had weight loss surgery and the side effects that come with having the surgery, you got to have strategies on treating it. And it's not just I live with it and wait until the symptoms get so bad that you're going after every medical test out there to figure out what's wrong. And they keep coming back as nothing's wrong, nothing's wrong, nothing's wrong. And you're like, yeah, but I'm miserable. It hurts to eat. I feel nauseous. I have gas and I'm bloated. You just have all these horrible symptoms that, you know, just interfere with life. So I think, you know, look at the big picture of what we're trying to accomplish with this talk, and hopefully you learned something from it. If you haven't gone to our website, WLSgutHealth.com, I would go there, get signed up for our newsletters so you stay on top of all the new and exciting things that you can learn about gut health, and subscribe to our iTunes channel so that you can get the next podcast as soon as it comes out. If you've liked today's show, make sure to go into iTunes and leave us a rating, and hopefully it's a 5-star because you are super excited about restoring your gut health. And if you would take the time to write a review and share what excites you the most, that would be greatly appreciated because shows are ranked inside of iTunes based on reviews and stars. So we look forward to becoming your solution to restoring your stomach and intestinal health after weight loss surgery.